he spread his wings to give them some privacy. It occurred to him that he could have created a sight shield and aural shield around them, and he knew that he would seriously hurt any man who cut off a young girl in that way from the watchful eyes of other adults.
"Why aren't you in school?"
he asked quietly.
"Because I want to be here."
Her voice trembled, but she looked him in the eyes.
"Girl has balls," he thought.
Of course, running tame in his home might have something to do with it, since she watched Daemonar and was used to being around him. But this was different, and they both knew it.
"School is important," he said.
"So is this."
All kinds of messages in those three words. And he hadn't forgotten what he'd been told about the attack on the Eriens here 2 years ago. Halivar had made light of it at the time to spare the girl's feelings, but Jillian had killed her first man that day, putting an arrow in the bastard's heart. That had been the main reason he'd let her continue an informal kind of training after it became clear that the other women wanted no part of that training.
"Has anyone tried to hurt you, Jillian?"
She hesitated.
"Not here."
"Not here" could explain why Nurian had made the decision to take her younger sister and emigrate to Kalir.
"Practice and training are done in the morning," Jillian said.
True enough, but this morning just proved that being around the men wasn't the right time for Jillian's training, not if Falinar was going to snap and snarl the whole time the girl was with them. He closed his wings and lowered his hand.
"You go on to school now. You tell the teacher you're late because I kept you. If she has a problem with that, she can talk to me."
"But..."
"If you don't give me any sass about this, I will figure out how to work in some regular formal training for you."
Especially now, when the girl might be a good working partner for both Cyril and Renier. Jillian's shoulders relaxed. She smiled shyly.
"Yes, sir."
He stepped aside and watched her run out of the airy, her steps light. Then he walked over to his next problem, who looked ready to tear out his throat with her teeth. With her black hair and sun-kissed brown skin, Cyril looked like a beautiful woman from Demlin or Hyil, until a man noticed the delicately pointed ears. They were an indication, and warning, of her other bloodline. Just as he had a dual heritage of Hyilian and Eirian, but was Eirian in every way that counted, Cyril was Dia Alman, one of the Children of the Wood. They were a fiercely private and feral race, who lived closer to the land than any other humans. And because they seemed to be born knowing what to do with a knife, they were deadly. He wasn't afraid of Cyril. He was a warlord prince, and his jewels outranked hers. But he never forgot the Dia Alman side of her nature when he dealt with her temper. That didn't mean he wouldn't give her a kick in the ass if she needed one. He braced one hand near Cyril's head and, again, opened his wings and curved them to provide some privacy.
"You dismissed her because she doesn't have balls," Cyril said.
"That's insulting," Lucivar said. "You should know me better than that."
She stared at him. He blew out a breath.
"I sent her to school, which is where a girl her age belongs."
"And the training she wants?"
"I'll work that out somehow, although you might not be as happy with your training schedule because of it."
The angry heat faded from her gold-green eyes, replaced by reluctant amusement.
"Now, I've got a wife at home who started the day by puking and shitting herself. I expect my son will start puking and shitting any minute, which I'm sure will delight my father to no end. So we can do your training assessment here, or in the front room of my airy, where you'll most likely get to participate in today's adventures."
"Those are my choices."
"Yeah, those are your choices.
In that case, Sugar...
Go easy now,
Halivar said sharply. Lucivar's head whipped around toward the other men. He'd heard the clack of sparring sticks, but he hadn't paid attention to a usual sound when he had a gray-jeweled witch in front of him brimming with anger. Too late, he thought, seeing Falinar connect with the sparring stick Renier held and knowing how a man would step in response to that move. He reached out with craft as Renier's leg gave out, intending to catch the man and stop the fall that would cause more damage to already damaged muscle and bone. But his power tangled with sapphire power, fouling his and Falinar's attempts to stop the fall. Renier cried out in pain as he hit the stone floor, and they all heard bone snap.
No!
Cyrille screamed. She rushed over and dropped to her knees beside Renier at the same moment Lucivar reached Falinar and shoved the Irian back a step, and wondered why the man had a sapphire shield around himself for what should have been a slow warm-up.
I tried to catch him, Falinar said, sounding regretful.
Except that particular tone of regret made Lucivar think of the hunting camp and the boys who had been hurt during training exercises. It was an Aristo tone that meant the boy who had done the harm wasn't sorry at all.
What's wrong with you? Lucivar shouted. Nothing is wrong with me, Falinar snapped. I just proved what you should have known. A cripple doesn't have any place among Irian warriors.
Cyrille threw herself at Falinar, her scream of rage startling Lucivar enough that he put a skin-tight red shield around himself. He grabbed the back of her shirt before she reached Falinar and began a spin that would lift her away from the other Irian. She lashed out with her right hand as she was lifted and tossed away from the men. Lucivar felt Falinar's sapphire shield break under a punch of Cyrille's gray power as she lashed out, saw the blood on the Irian's left arm, felt the big knife that slid on his red shield instead of slicing him along the waist as Falinar responded with a counterattack. Tossing Cyrille aside, Lucivar continued the spin, calling in his own fighting knife. By the time he faced Falinar, he was armed, he was balanced, and he was ready. The fury in Falinar's eyes was aimed right at him, but the man stepped back and lowered his knife. Lucivar glanced at Falinar's left arm, a deep slice through muscle, freely bleeding.
Cyrille,
he said, never taking his eyes off the other warlord prince.
Go to the keep, now.
I'll go back to the tavern after...
Unless you want a knife dance with me, you will do as you're told, he snapped.
As he felt her stare at his back, he'd never been more aware of how much of her temper and inclinations came from her Dia Alman heritage. There were good reasons why the children of the wood were feared by the other races in Kalir. She moved slowly, circling around him and Falinar.
Prince, Falinar may have proved that a cripple has no place among Irians, but I just proved he wouldn't have survived that demon-dead bastard any better than Renier did.
Mother Night, she's riding the killing edge.
The wild look in her eyes wasn't quite sane. That, more than anything else, was why males didn't want witches involved in physical fighting. Females were a lot harder to control once they rose to the killing edge.
Go to the keep, he said firmly. I will deal with this. And I'll hurt you if I have to.
The moment she walked out of the communal area, and it was safe to move without provoking an attack, Zerinar and Hrothvar rushed over to Renier. Rothvar's hand hovered over Renier's leg.
Hell's fire. There are healing spells already holding those muscles and bone together.
Lucivar backed away from Falinar, who stood straight and proud despite the bleeding arm.
Get that arm tended, he said. I'll talk to you later.
Valinor looked at the wound that had come from the sight-shielded blade held by a furious woman.
What is there to say?
Plenty, Lucivar thought.
Get it tended.
He waited until Falinar left before sending out a call on an ebon-gray spear thread.
Damon.
Lucivar?
I need Janelle here as a healer. Now.
Who?
Renier.
We'll be there.
The link between them snapped as Damon shut him out. He didn't take offense. He'd just dumped a basket of problems in his brother's lap. The most dangerous being the queen they both loved and still served, the queen who was also a black widow and a healer. There wasn't going to be anything pleasant about being in a coach with Janelle while riding the winds to Ebon Rhee, not after telling her that Renier was the reason for the urgent call. Vanishing his knife, Lucivar looked at Renier, who lay on the floor, his eyes closed, his face tight with pain. Then he looked at the two warlords.
Can you get him to the keep?
They nodded. Using craft, they lifted Renier and gently floated him out of the aerie.
Halivar looked at the rest of the warlords, then jerked a thumb toward the door. The men bolted, no doubt glad to be clear of the anger and whatever problems were coming.
Felinar is a sapphire-jeweled warlord prince, and you're second in command,
Halivar said.
I trained you both when you were youngsters in the hunting camps, and that gives me some leave to speak my mind. But a warlord prince only tolerates so much of that.
Lucivar just waited.
It started with Felinar saying something about assessing Renier's skills, and Renier saying he thought it was best to wait for you. Guess that didn't sit well with Felinar, because the next thing I knew, he tossed a sparring stick to Renier and started the moves. Once you're that far, the choice is counter the moves or get whacked. I began watching close. You'd said the Doro warlord prince had been wounded in a fight, and you had him here to heal and improve his skills. I don't think you said how bad the leg was. That's not an excuse, but I don't think you actually said. A war blade sliced through the muscles of Renier's leg and halfway through the bone. He was fighting a demon-dead Irian warlord who had worn jewels stronger than opal,
Lucivar said.
And Renier never had a chance.
No, he wasn't supposed to have a chance. He wasn't supposed to survive. No one who had been trapped in that spooky house was supposed to survive.
Halivar sighed.
I don't know what's wrong with Felinar lately, but I do know it's something to do with you.
Lucivar echoed the sigh.
Not surprising. Not surprising, Halivar agreed. But I think you'd best find out why.
Chapter 3 Lucivar and Damon waited in one of the keep's sitting rooms while Janelle did what she could for Renier. Damon had blocked him from talking to Janelle when they arrived at the keep. She'd gone to the room where Renier had been taken. Lucivar had ended up prowling a sitting room with a brother whose effort to control an icy temper was much too obvious.
How angry is she over this?
Lucivar finally asked.
Old son, you don't want to ask that question, Damon replied softly.
It wasn't Renier's fault. Something's been pushing at him, and he's been stupid about the leg because of it. But this wasn't his fault.
He's not the only one who has something pushing at him,
Damon said.
I've been informed, discreetly, that Cyril isn't sleeping well, is up reading or just pacing in the townhouse's sitting room through the wee hours of the morning. She locked down so tightly after getting out of the spooky house, I don't think she's allowed herself to feel. Sooner or later, that control will break.
and things will get messy.
He circled the room a couple of times before Damon said, What's chewing on you?
A lot of things, but the one bothering me the most is how she went after Falinar. Sight-shielded knife. Man sees a pissed-off woman throwing herself at him with nothing visible in her hands. He thinks of fists and flailing and angry words and boo-hooing. She knew that. She didn't challenge him, didn't square off for a fight.
She's not Irian, and she's not male. Cyril doesn't play by those rules.
Sometimes she does, Lucivar said. Sometimes she'll draw the line, and there's no mistake she's looking for a punch-and-roll brawl. But she wasn't interested in giving a warning this time. She went for him, Damon. If I hadn't been there, she would have killed him before he'd realized that was her intent.
Are you sure that was the intent?
He nodded. If I hadn't been swinging her away, she would have been in position to drive that knife right through his heart. Even if he realized the intent at the last moment, sapphire shields wouldn't have stopped a blade backed by gray power. Didn't stop a blade backed by the gray.
Do you want to know what I'm wondering? Damon asked. Cyril has a tendency to kill a man in a way that balances the harm he did to his prey. She hid a physical knife. What kind of blade was Falinar hiding? And who was it aimed at? Before he could think of an answer, Janelle walked into the room.
Kindly inform Prince Falinar that if he gets near Prince Rainier again, I will strip his legs, muscle by muscle, until there is nothing left but skin and bone.
Hell's fire, Mother Night, and may the darkness be merciful. The look in her eyes made Lucivar shiver, made his knees weak. This was no idle warning, no embellished expression of anger. Janelle meant exactly what she said, and though she no longer wore black or ebony jewels, there was more than enough power in Twilight's Dawn to deal with a sapphire-jeweled warlord prince. Damon rose, a deliberate move to draw her attention, for which Lucivar was grateful.
How is Rainier?
Damon asked.
He tore muscles that were already held together with healing spells and spider silk, and the bone is broken all the way through, she snapped. How do you think he is?
They said nothing. Janelle closed her eyes and took several deep breaths. When she looked at them again, sharp temper was still there, but so was the usual control.
My apologies, Prince Saadi. You don't deserve my anger.
No, I don't, Damon replied. But I'm not feeling polite right now either, so I understand.
Rainier wants to see you. I suggest you go now. He won't be awake much longer.
Lucivar waited until Damon left the room before asking,
Will Rainier be able to walk on that leg?
Janelle rubbed her hands over her face. When she let her hands fall, he saw the frustration and regret in her eyes.
He'll walk. I'm not sure he'll be able to do more than that at this point, but he should be able to walk.
Sorrow burned in his chest.
I'll work with him. Whatever it takes, I'll work with him.
Janelle sank into a chair.
I meant what I said about Falinar.
He looked at her, and remembered that some of who and what she was had also come from the Dia Alman.
I know.
Rainier drifted, fighting the sleep he needed, fighting the healing spells and the healing brew for a little while longer. He heard no sound, but he felt the dark power when Damon walked into the room and sat beside the bed.
I feel like something that had been hidden and festering got lanced, he said. I know if my leg wasn't wrapped in numbing spells, it would hurt like a wicked bitch, but I feel better. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to you, Damon said.
Maybe it's easier to accept when there is no longer a possibility of taking up the life you had.
Maybe. Was Saadi weaving a soothing spell in his voice? Renier wondered. Or was it the healing spells that made him feel like he could float on the sound?
Would you like me to read to you? Damon asked.
Renier laughed. It sounded like heavy syrup.
I'd be asleep before you read the second sentence. I don't want to waste the offer.
All right. Another time, then. His arm was so heavy, he wasn't sure he'd actually moved it until Damon took his hand.
I want to stay in Eben Re. Have a reason to stay now. Janelle won't like me staying, so I need you to stand for me.
Why do you want to stay?
Something he'd seen in Falinar's eyes, something he'd felt when Falinar's sapphire and Lucivar's red powers had crashed into his own effort to keep himself upright, leaving him vulnerable in too many ways.
I'm not sure.
Whatever you tell me now will stay between us, Damon soothed. As I was falling, I felt Falinar ram against my inner barriers, and with all the power slamming around me, I couldn't keep my mind shut tight, couldn't keep everything private. Might not have been intentional. He could have been flung against me by the Red, but intentional or not, Falinar grabbed at the chance to find something, anything, I might know that he could use against Lucivar, some secret. Some weakness. The pain in my leg. I was afraid I wouldn't be able to protect a confidence, so I floated a lie near the surface where it would be easy to find that Lucivar's left ankle was badly damaged when Yaslana first came to Kalir, and even now it's weak and wouldn't support him if it received a couple of hard blows in a fight. Did he say the words? Did he voice the suspicion of what Falinar had hoped to achieve by causing him to fall?
Shh, Damon said. Rest now. I won't act on what you've told me unless I have proof that it's true. And I'll talk to Janelle so that you can stay in Eben Re for a while.
Having those assurances from the prince he served, he drifted off to sleep. Lucivar found Falinar at Nurian's Eyrie. Not unexpected, since they were lovers and she was the healer the Eyrians around Riada and Down came to when they were injured or ill. The Eyrians, who lived in camps in the northern end of the valley, complained about having to see one of the Rylander healers in Agio, because there wasn't another Eyrian healer in Eben Re. But there wasn't anything he could do about that. He would have accepted another healer, if one had been willing to sign a contract with him and had the disposition needed to settle comfortably in Kalir. But Nurian had been the only one who had been willing to settle in Eben Re and live under the rule of a man most Eyrians still thought of as a half-breed bastard, despite his bloodlines. She looked tired. That wasn't unexpected either, considering the number of people who had become ill recently. But he didn't think the strain he saw in her face was due to fatigue. Falinar was settled in her parlor, his left arm shielded and wrapped to protect the fragile, newly healed muscle and skin. He looked comfortable, but his eyes were yellow stones filled with anger.
"Will the Darrow man prance again?" Falinar asked.
"No," Lucivar replied. "But we're hopeful he'll walk on that leg again. You should be hoping that too, because if he can't walk, neither will you."
"Is that a threat, Yaslana?"
No title, no courtesy in the voice. More and more, Falinar seemed to be forgetting who ruled and who served.
"That, Prince Falinar, is the message from an enraged queen drawing a line and stating what the blood debt will be for damage done to one of her court."
Falinar paled.
"There is no court. Hasn't been one for almost 2 years.
Lucivar huffed out a laugh.
"You be sure to explain that to Witch while she's stripping all the muscle out of your legs."
Falinar paled even more.
"Stay away from Renier. You won't get another warning.
And if the Queen has a reason to go after you, you won't find anyone strong enough to stand in her way who will stand in her way. Is that clear? As clear as what passes for Irian honor here.
Ah. Lucivar gave Falinar a lazy, arrogant smile.
So, let's hear what passed for Irian honor in Tyriel.
Falinar exploded out of the chair. Lucivar waited, watching the other man's eyes.
We're Irians, who aren't allowed to be Irians,
Falinar snarled.
We should rule this valley instead of having to pretend that the Rylanders are our equals. These mountains should be filled with our kind, but there are less than 200 Irians in Ebon Rhee. The others who came through the service fair had no interest in living in Ebon Rhee,
Lucivar said.
No, they had no interest in living under you. Instead of having a new life, they chose to go back to misery rather than serve you. The only thing you honor about our race is our fighting skills and what we can do on a killing field. You cast aside everything else and expect us to accept that, swallow that.
Well, that's interesting.
Lucivar shifted his expression into puzzlement.
What else is there beyond what was learned in the hunting camps?
Our traditions, our customs, our heritage? You send Jillian to school to learn what? Nothing Irian.
Last time I looked, Irians can read the same words and tally the same numbers as Rylanders or Demlins. What about our history?
Now that was a sore spot, since Irian history was something he wanted Daemonar to learn.
There aren't any storytellers who can teach the youngsters the old stories,
Lucivar said with genuine regret.
There were some who came to Kalir, but none who would come here,
Falinar said bitterly.
That was their decision.
So you'll condemn the rest of us instead of making an honorable choice?
Meaning what?
No matter what you say, there is no longer a queen ruling Ebon Askavy, which means you're no longer bound by any contract to that queen. Give up, Ebon Rhee. Let it go to another leader Irians will follow. Let us build a life here, an Irian life. And if you won't think of the rest of us, think of your own son. Is he going to grow up as an Irian or as a Rylander with wings? And I suppose you, as the leader the other Irians will follow, would make sure he was treated as a young man from an Aristo family and not the son of a half-breed bastard?
He saw the truth in Falinar's eyes.
Your family is wealthy, Falinar spit out the words. You can live anywhere. Do something for your people. Go live elsewhere, and let us have Askavy.
Lucivar smiled.
Funny how all of a sudden you become my people when you want something that would be convenient for you and give me nothing in return. No, Falinar. I am where I choose to live. As for the other Irians living in Ebon Rhee, I was here first, and the Irians who were in this valley before me, they were my uncle and my cousin and the men who served them.
Falinar stared at him for a long time, then said bitterly,
"The only Irian thing about you is your wings."
As Lucivar walked to the door, he tossed back,
"My mother would have been pleased to hear you say that."
Chapter 4. When a man's ability to move was severely limited, being in a room with Cyril all day was unnerving, especially when her mood kept swinging from being over-solicitous to looking like she'd explode if she didn't rip apart everything in the room. Since he was one of the things in the room, Renier felt giddy relief when Janelle ordered Cyril to take her own walk and rest period. Then Janelle worked on his leg, weaving her healing spells around and through the broken bone and severed muscle. Satisfied that this time he had done exactly what he'd been told to do, she had given him permission to sit downstairs this evening and have the passive company of Mary and Briggs's customers. Wasn't much of a trade in some ways, since Mary was keeping as sharp an eye on him as Cyril had done. But the difference in personalities made him feel easier. Besides, Mary had plenty of other people to look after, and didn't look like she wanted to rip out everyone's throat. Renier sat at a table with his left leg resting on cushions that floated on air, and enough shields around that part of the table to barricade a whole house, and none of those shields were his. Still, he was happy to be around other people for a while, and concerned that Cyril was taking another walk to work off more temper, and he wondered if there was some way for him to find out if there was a problem in Eben Rhee, or if Lucivar had a problem with just one man. Lucivar prowled the sitting room at the keep. He'd spent the day trying to figure out whom he could talk to who would just let him talk. Marion would have listened, but he didn't want to share this with her, not yet. Not when it might change how she felt or acted around some of the other Irians. So he'd come to the keep, wishing he could have talked to his uncle Andalvar, or even Prothvar, but finally choosing the man he hoped could understand.
"I'm not leaving Eben Rhee for any prick-ass's benefit," he said. "But Falinar was right about some things."
He braced when his father rose from the chair where Satan had sat silently and passively while Lucivar recounted his discussion with the other Irian warlord prince. But the High Lord just settled on the wide arm of the big stuffed chair and crossed his arms over his chest.
"Was he?"
Satan asked blandly.
Hell's fire. He'd asked, no, demanded, to be allowed to talk without having to deal with someone else's anger. But this blandness in face and voice hid too much, giving him no clue to Satan's thoughts or temper.
"What, exactly, was he right about?"
Satan asked. Lucivar bristled, couldn't stop himself.
"Look, I didn't want to deal with anger, but I didn't say you couldn't express an opinion. As long as it's expressed politely?"
He swore savagely.
"I was hoping you would understand." "I do,"
Satan said, his voice still viciously bland.
"Better, I think, than you do at this moment."
Lucivar snapped to a stop and looked into Satan's eyes. Something there, something that warned him that he could hear nothing or he could hear it all.
"Stop that."
If he had to submit to a scolding, he was not going to listen to it delivered in that bland, no-balls voice, not from this man. Satan's gold eyes filled with sharp amusement.
"Would you prefer a whack upside the head? It's what you would have gotten from your uncle."
"Why?" The bland expression vanished, which wasn't a relief because now Satan's face held the look of a family patriarch annoyed with one of his offspring. Not angry, not threatening, just annoyed enough that if Lucivar had been younger, Satan would have grabbed him by the scruff of the neck as a warning to pay attention and think.
"Point by point, then,"
Satan said.
"There are about 200 Irians in Eben Rhee. How many of them are you supporting?"
"I can afford it," he mumbled, not sure how much trouble he was in, but certain he was in trouble.
"Besides, they work for me." "Do they? It's been 2 years since the last service fair. 2 years since the last contracts were signed that were part of the emigration requirements to live in Kalir."
"No," Lucivar said quickly. "There were a handful this past summer.
Irian women who have young children and were desperate enough and determined enough to leave what they had known. They didn't come through the service fairs, since those fairs no longer exist. They came to the keep in Tyriel, asking for help. And Draka asked you to consider adding them to the women living in the mountains near Down, which you did. How many other Eerians who signed contracts with you are still under contract?
Not sure he liked where this was going, he shrugged. They're still serving.
Are they? Being a dark jeweled warlord prince, Valinor has to serve for 5 years in order to remain in Kalir after the contract is completed. The others, not being of that caste and not wearing dark jewels, have fulfilled that obligation and are free to live elsewhere now. If a queen will permit them to live in her territory.
Satan tipped his head in agreement.
I think some of those men have already talked to Eerians who accepted service contracts with Rylander queens and have discovered that those queens are not intimidated by Eerians or impressed by aggression and arrogance. That those queens are not going to pay them to sit on a mountain scratching each other's asses while complaining about the ruler they are supposed to serve.
Lucivar took a step back. It still shocked him when his father expressed an opinion so crudely. It would have sounded natural if Andalvar had said it, but Satan? Nah. And that crudeness focused his attention as nothing else could have.
How many are still under contract to you, Lucivar? I'm not sure.
A flash of anger, like a flash of lightning, filled the room. He waited to hear the thunder, waited for the gauge that would tell him how close the storm was, and how violent. The silence that followed scared him, because it indicated an anger too deep to gauge.
Andalvar didn't like paperwork any more than you do, but he knew every man who served him directly. Contracts were a formality. He didn't need those pieces of paper to know who served and who didn't, who was loyal and who wasn't, who lived by the blood's code of honor and who didn't. He knew, and so do you.
Lucivar swallowed hard.
Except for the women I took in last summer, Valinor is the only one who hasn't fulfilled the full contract. Then he and those women are the only ones who should be receiving anything from your share of Eben Rhys' tithes. If they're fulfilling the tasks you've assigned them as part of the bargain. The others should be informed that they have fulfilled their agreement and are free to live elsewhere. If they want to remain in Eben Rhys, and you're still willing to let them live there, they will have to find work to support themselves. If they want to work for you and receive wages from you and have a skill that you want for the Eerian community in your keeping, they will stand before you and witnesses and make a formal, binding pledge of loyalty for whatever amount of time you specify. They will do this according to Eerian tradition, understanding that the penalties of breaking that loyalty also will follow Eerian tradition. And yes, Prince, that does mean execution. And yes, there were times when Andalvar had to hold up that part of Eerian honor.
Lucivar wanted to pace, but that storm of temper could still come down on him, so he didn't move.
I can't cut them loose like that. They're just starting to build a life.
He wasn't thinking of the men. Not most of them, anyway. But the women? And what about men like Halivar and Tamnar? What would they do to support themselves sufficiently?
Eerians prefer plain speaking. So I'll speak plainly,
Satan said quietly.
The reason most of the Eerians who are now settled in Ascavi Kalir came here was to escape the control of Prithian and all the corrupted queens who followed her lead. Well, Prithian and those queens and everyone who was tainted by them are gone, dead, destroyed, purged from all the realms. If the Eerians living in Eben Rhys don't like the boundaries that are set by the queens in Kalir, they can return to Ascavi Tyriel and take up their old lives. Would there be anything left of their old lives? I don't know. The point is, they could go back to Ascavi Tyriel and build the life they seem to think would be so much better than what they have here. I'll open the gate myself to accommodate them. But if they're going to stay here, It's time for them to start living in Kalir, instead of expecting the Shadow Realm to change into the same but more advantageous place they left.
Lucivar started pacing. He needed to argue and push because it was helping him see things he hadn't considered. But he was nervous about what might swing back at him if he argued and pushed.
When has knowing there was a price ever stopped you? 200 Irians living in the mountains around a valley this size isn't a lot. How many Irians do you think usually lived in the land owned by the keep?
Satan asked, his voice laced with amused curiosity. Lucivar stopped pacing. Wherever this discussion was going, it was going to bite him in the ass. He just knew it.
Falinar indicated 200 are a lot less Irians than there should be. If I wasn't the one ruling here, more would settle in the valley. In Tyriel, there were courts and hunting camps and communities of Irians in the mountains. Hell's fire! Marion used to live in the Black Valley before she came to Kalir. So I know Falinar is right about that. There were hundreds, even thousands of Irians living in the mountains around this valley.
Yes, there were. In Tyriel,
Satan said, his voice now filled with an amusement that could, in a heartbeat, turn cuttingly sharp.
My darling, you and Falinar have both missed a step in your education.
Shit.
Irians are not native to Kalir. The Rylanders are Ascavi's native race in the Shadow Realm. The only reason there have ever been Irians living in these mountains, the only reason you are now living in an Eyrie Andalvar had built for himself, was that during the time when Andalvar served Cassandra, a winged race was attacking Rylander villages in the northern parts of Ascavi. He was assigned to take care of the problem, and he and the Irian warriors who served under him went out and fought the Jinka and established the line between what was considered Jinka territory and what belonged to the Rylanders. In thanks, the Rylander queens in Ebon Rhee invited him and his men to establish homes in the mountains around the keep, which Andalvar did because, even though he ended up being the warlord prince of Ascavi in both realms, he liked what he found in Ascavi Kalir a lot more than what he'd left behind as a youth in Ascavi Tyriel. So no matter what Falinar may think, there has never been more than two or three communities of Irians living in Ebon Rhee. Ever.
Lucivar shifted his weight from one foot to the other. It made sense. A hunting camp was usually paired with a court or a community. When he'd first made the decision to accept Irians into service, he'd scouted the mountains for other suitable Eyries and found them in the mountains near the Rylander villages. But now that he thought about those places being occupied, he realized there weren't many of those old Eyries that were still empty, and the ones that were tended to be isolated, more like overnight camps instead of homes.
The valley below us belongs to the keep in all three realms, Satan said. It always has. It always will. You were given Ebon Rhee to rule on behalf of the Queen of Ebon Ascavi. You were given the responsibility to watch over the land and the people who live here, whether they were Landons or Rylanders or Irians. When you made the pledge to defend and protect, you not only made it to the living queen you served, you made it to the keep and those who serve the keep, which is why you still rule here, even though Janelle is no longer a ruling queen.
He pushed up from the chair and ran his fingers through his hair, the first sign of exasperation he'd shown.
What is actually going on here, Lucivar? Do you trust Falinar so much that you've missed something obvious?
Right now, he didn't trust Falinar at all, but that wouldn't be a wise thing to say to his father, or his brother for that matter.
Like what? A challenge?
Lucivar huffed out a laugh.
He's arrogant, not stupid. He couldn't survive me on a killing field. But he is an Aristo warlord prince who served in a less than honorable court. Was he free to leave, or would he have been considered a rogue when he left Prithian's court and slipped in with the other Irians to try his luck at the service fair? He said he couldn't stomach what he was ordered to do.
Lucivar said,
I assumed he was rogue, but I didn't care. A man who lived by traditional Irian honor would have cared,
Satan said,
or at least cared about why a man broke an oath of loyalty.
Snarling at the truth of that, Lucivar resumed pacing.
So Felinar appeals to your sense of honor and tries to get you to give up your claim to Ebon Rhee for the good of the other Irians. What do you think would happen if you did step down? Felinar would step in and become the next warlord prince of Ebon Rhee and rule the valley in traditional Irian fashion.
And blood would be shed up and down the valley. The Rylanders here, Blood and Landon, wouldn't tolerate the presence of another race who expected them to be accommodating, especially when accommodating meant becoming little better than slaves.
If you step down, there will be no warlord prince of Ebon Rhee,
Satan said.
If you leave Ebon Rhee, no one at the keep will deny Felinar's claim to being the leader of the Irians living in the valley. But the Rylander villages here will have no duty to him. There will be no tithes to support him or his followers because he will have no right to that income. He may be considered an equal to the queens who rule the blood villages, but not their superior. He would not be permitted to glut this land with Irians who can't support themselves, and he certainly wouldn't be permitted to bring in more warriors, because the number of warriors already here is sufficient to help the Rylanders defend this land and its people.
And if he did try to bring in more? Satan gave him a long stare before saying softly,
Don't underestimate what guards the keep, Lucivar.
He heard the warning. Oh yes, he heard the warning.
I will give Felinar 2 points,
Satan said.
First, you aren't thinking like an Irian when it comes to the Irians in Ebon Rhee. Who would you want with you on a battleground, Prince Yaslana? Who would you want supporting those men? Whose skills are useful? Who should be dismissed because they're only extra weight? No one has reminded you of those completed contracts because they would have had to earn their living instead of expecting you to provide them with everything they want simply because you agreed to give them a chance to live in the territory you rule. They aren't your children. Since you have sense enough not to spoil your own son, don't spoil them. Give them a choice to stay or go, because the ones who can't give you loyalty are no use to you in a fight or in a healthy community.
Could I release Felinar from his contract? Lucivar asked.
If he wants to return to Tyriel, you could forgive the rest of his contract. If he wants to stay in Calir, but no longer can serve you honorably, his contract could be transferred to a queen of sufficient rank, meaning one who wears a red jewel or darker, who is willing to have an Irian warlord prince in her court.
I won't let him serve Carla, Lucivar said. She wasn't the only queen who wore jewels darker than sapphire, but after what Felinar did to Rhaenyra, he wasn't going to let the man near the Queen of Glacia and her weakened legs.
What's the second thing? People didn't stop dying 2 years ago. Those who made the transition to demon dead didn't stop coming to hell, didn't stop wanting a last chance to take care of unfinished business. So, come with me.
He followed Satan to the private part of the keep's huge library. On the blackwood table was a wooden box with a dozen audio crystals, nestled in heavy silk. Satan put one of the crystals in the brass stand and used craft to engage the sounds held in the crystal.
Andalvar's voice,
Lucivar's chest ached. Hell's fire, he missed his uncle. Satan's love and discipline and code of honor had shaped the core of who he was. But Andalvar, by being Andalvar, had shaped his sense of what it meant to be Irian. How could he have forgotten that? Then he focused on the words and gasped.
Stories? Some stories,
Satan replied.
Some legends as he was taught them. Some accounts of battles he was in. Prothvar has some stories and accounts of battles on a couple of those crystals too. And then there are these.
Returning that audio crystal to its place in the box, he called in another crystal and put it in the stand. Lucivar didn't recognize the voice, but he knew what he was hearing.
How? Where? A historian storyteller from Ascavi Tyriel. He made the transition to Demon Dead a couple of weeks ago. When he came to the Dark Realm, his main regret was that he had no apprentice while he walked among the living, had no one to learn the stories, and he worried that no one would remember what Ascavi had been like before the purging, that the most recent history would be lost. So I showed him what Andalvar and I had done over the course of several winters. He's doing the same thing now? Lucivar asked. Recording the stories of Irian history so they won't be forgotten? Yes. If someone was interested in becoming the historian storyteller in your community, meetings could be arranged and held at the keep.
Maybe the storyteller could have an apprentice after all, before he returned to the darkness. Satan called in a thick sheaf of papers, carefully bound. He handed it to Lucivar.
Irians don't have a lot of use for books, but I had all of Andalvar's stories transcribed. I made two copies. One copy and the audio crystals will remain here in the keep's library, available to scholars and our family. The copy you're holding is a gift from your uncle, and you may do with it as you please. Thank you.
His throat was so tight it was hard to swallow.
I've let some things slide for the past couple of years. There were reasons for it, but now that needs to change. Yes, it does. And there will be some who won't like that change.
Lucivar put a shield around the bound pages to keep them protected, then vanished them.
I'd better go. I promised Janelle I would tuck in Cyril and Renier tonight, since they'll both be resuming their training tomorrow. You're going to put a weapon in Cyril's hands?
Satan looked mildly alarmed.
Are you going to shield your balls?
He laughed.
Damn right I am.
He headed for the library's door. Satan stayed at the table.
Lucivar.
He looked back.
The next time someone tries to manipulate your heart by saying you don't know Irian tradition, you remind that person that you follow Irian traditions that are far older than anything he could possibly know. Because, my darling, that is true. Andalvar was proud of you, as a man and as an Irian warrior. Does anyone else's opinion really matter?
Glancing up from the solitary card game he'd been playing, Renier saw one of the younger Irian warlords standing in the tavern's doorway, scanning the room. Endar. Had a wife and two children, and lived with them, which, he'd gathered, was atypical in Irian society. Despite what Lucivar sometimes said about his little beast, Renier couldn't imagine Yaslana living apart from his family, coming to the family Eri for only an hour to see his children or have sex with his wife. Couldn't imagine Yaslana tolerating that separation. As Endar approached his table, he saw Mary start to veer from the table she'd been heading toward. It's all right, Renier told her on a psychic thread. I'd like to know why he's come. She turned again so smoothly, he doubted anyone else would have realized anything had happened. Prince Renier, Endar said when he reached the table. Lord Endar? Endar pointed at another chair. May I?
Please do.
An awkward silence. Then Mary appeared and said,
I know what Prince Rainier is allowed to drink. What would you like?
Hasn't been in the tavern before, Rainier thought as he watched Endar stumble over a simple request for ale.
I guess your training is done now, Endar said.
Rainier shook his head. We report to Prince Yaslana tomorrow morning to resume training.
I mean no disrespect, but what can you do right now?
I think my part of the training tomorrow consists of standing, walking a few steps, and bending my knee a few times to help stretch the muscles Lady Angeline is rebuilding. Yaslana's part of the training is pounding on me if I do anything stupid.
He wouldn't hurt an injured man,
Endar protested.
Yes, he would.
I'd rather feel Lucivar's fist than my healer's fury.
Ah.
Endar took a couple of swallows of ale, then set the mug aside and called in four books. He looked embarrassed, almost ashamed. Since you need to rest that leg so much while it's healing, I thought you might find these useful. Setting the cards down, Rainier checked the title of each book. He'd read all of them, but he wasn't going to say that, since it was clear it hadn't been easy for Endar to bring them or admit to owning them.
Thank you. These will help pass the time.
Cyril walked through the door, and the chatter in the room stumbled before picking up the rhythm again. As she approached their table, he noticed how much Endar tensed, how ready the man was to take up a defensive position. Couldn't blame him, not after her attack on Falinar. Cyril, darling, Endar kindly loaned me some books. Could you take them up to my room so they'll be safe? By the time she'd unbuttoned her heavy coat, he knew she'd assessed his visitor and his ease with the Irian and understood what the loan of those books meant.
Sure, she said, taking the books. You want anything from your room while I'm up there?
No, thanks.
When she walked away, Endar gulped in a breath, then gulped some ale. Rainier picked up his cards and resumed his game. Endar watched for a bit.
I've played every card game I know more times than I care to consider, Rainier said. Do you know any?
Betting games, you mean?
He shook his head.
The healing brews I have to drink are strong enough to give me a muzzy head.
Well, there is Hawks and Hares, but it's a children's card game.
Rainier smiled. I could handle that, I think.
Endar called in a different deck of cards.
I keep them with me, he mumbled as he shuffled the cards, to distract the little ones when Dorian needs some peace.
Rainier said nothing, just absorbed all the messages under and around the words. Lucivar walked into the tavern, glanced at the table ringed by Irians, and reached the bar just as Cyril lifted the tray of drinks and went off to tend a couple of tables.
The way she kept staring at everyone, folks were afraid to come up and order a drink,
Briggs said, standing on the other side of the bar.
Mary suggested that she look after a few tables while she was keeping an eye on things, and she agreed, and promised not to poison anyone's drink. She was joking about that, wasn't she? If Cyril promised not to poison anyone tonight, she won't.
Briggs stared at him.
You want ale? I'd rather have a very large whiskey, but I'll take coffee if you have it. It's my night to give the little beast his bath, so I'll need my reflexes sharp beforehand and the whiskey after.
Laughing, Briggs went to fetch him a large mug of coffee. Leaning against the bar, he idly watched Rainier and Endar playing some kind of game, encouraged by Halivar, Kolvar, Zarinar, and Hrothvar.
Endar showed up first, Cyril said, setting a tray of dirty glasses on the bar. Loaned Rainier four books. I gathered reading isn't a shameful activity if a warrior is so badly injured there isn't much else he can do.
Lucivar winced at the sharp edge in her voice.
The others showed up a little while ago.
I'm surprised they aren't entertaining Felinar, he said.
She huffed out a breath.